With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Pigeonhole Hockey, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris, and today's co-host, Steve and Sam.
How's it going, hockey fans?
Hope you're doing well, hockey fans.
And you know us, we don't claim to be hockey experts, but simply our results, hockey fans love to play, watch, read, and talk about hockey. So how goes your morning, boys?
I was watching my daughters do their Easter egg hunt, so that was entertaining. It's a beautiful rainy day here in Phoenix, Arizona, and it is beautiful when it's rainy here. That's all I gotta say. It's nice and cool.
Yeah, you haven't approached that insane heat level yet, have you?
Not even close.
Sam, how about weather down there in Oregon?
It's doing all right. I mean, the sun's just peeking out, it's in like the low 50s, high 40s, so hard to argue with that considering it was just randomly pouring rain at one point yesterday. I spent the whole morning in bed, so the difference of a life of the single man's life versus the married life.
The dad life right there. That's the dad life.
Yeah, that too.
Oh yeah, it's nice up here today. It's a really nice morning. It's like I said, it's about 10 Celsius, and we're all talking about basically how our mornings were going, and we're like, let's just throw this on a podcast, because you were like, yeah, it's about, you know, 48 degrees here. I don't know what that is in Celsius. And I'm like, well, the best way to convert it is the way I figured out. I moved to Canada years ago originally, the first time around, and somebody gave me the super complicated way to try to convert Fahrenheit to Celsius, because I didn't think in Celsius, I thought in Fahrenheit. And I can't remember it, but when I looked at her, as she explained the whole thing, I looked at her and went, or if it's Fahrenheit, I could just minus 30 and then cut that number in half, and then I'm pretty much on point with Celsius. And she's like, oh, wow, yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So so if it's 48, you take 48 minus 30, 40 being 18, and then 18 and divided by 2 is 9. So
hey Chris.
And it works the other way.
Chris, you already bored everybody out of watching the podcast. Way too much math, buddy. Way too much math.
It's not math. Well, it's not that much math. Maybe too much math for us hockey players, but
hockey players and the casual fans, just open up your app.
Maybe I should do this in pucks. Maybe I should do this in pucks. It's like Kevin from the
You have 48 pucks and you subtract 30 pucks, and then you
exactly.
You give half the pucks to the other team.
I would do it as saves, man, because the attendees could relate. That's a lot of pucks.
Yeah, but then you get less saves when you convert over to Celsius.
True.
Oh, yeah.
But better quality saves.
Oh, okay. That's what we're going with.
That's what we're going with.
Shots already fired across the bow. All right.
Shots fired across the entire world except the USA.
Yeah, okay.
that one's kind of true.
Yeah, well, what was that? The Archer quote when they're talking about like the US, and I think the only other country was like Laos that used Fahrenheit. And Archer's like, wow, you don't think about Laos having its shit together. I don't know if it was Laos or whatever the Archer quote is. It was funny.
That's good.
But, that's when my wife, when I came home from work one day and she's like, hey, we're going to watch this cartoon. I looked at her. I'm like, I'm not a cartoon fan, but she's like, no. One of my friends recommended it. And so I'm like, okay. I sat through the first episode. I'm like, this is awesome. I have watch this. And so now we own them all on DVD because, like, again, all you people that decided to buy like those electronic versions and suddenly you don't have rights to what you purchased already. That's why I've always bought DVDs or Blu-ray. Doesn't really matter. Or HD if you still have one of those old school, what was it? Not the PS5 or the PS3 at the time, PS2. What was it? What was the competitive box? Xbox or something?
Well, yeah, probably Xbox. I mean, Xbox is still a thing, yeah.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I've only been a PS owner. So I've had a PS3, PS4. What's the newest one? PS5?
Yeah. PS5 came out a few years ago, and Xbox, I don't even know which Xbox they're on at this point, but yeah, the more things that get rid of the DVD tray and the CD tray from, you know, laptop, let's say, it's like, dang it, you're really ripping away our childhood.
Yeah, because I ended up getting this portable little DVD player when we moved here, because we got our DVDs back when we moved back to North America. This little thing sucks. Like, it skips insanely. I'm like, I just need apparently a high-quality one, so that's why I'm waiting on getting, like, a PS5. Because do they still play DVDs?
I don't know if the PS5 has a tray or not. I don't own one, so you have to look it up.
I hate to tell you, boys, like, this whole dad life, I can't play games at all.
I just get my NHL game. Like, I don't play any other game. Like, I bought other games in the past, but I never played them. I only played my hockey game. So I knew that there was no point in bringing my PS4 or whatever I had back from Denmark. So I gave it away because I'm like, whatever the NHL games come out with in the future, it's going to be only like, oh, we're only launching this on the PS5. Now that's kind of how they force you into the new games. Maybe for my birthday, I'll get a PS5. We'll see.
One of these years.
Maybe my wife can overhear me. So that would be great.
Does she listen to the podcast, or do you need us to help you out?
She's just walking around the apartment, so I can announce that out loud. Oh, she hears me. Yeah, because she's talking back.
Okay, check the list.
Oh, check the list. Okay. All right. So there it is. No, I don't. But all right. So let's break back into it. Honestly, this episode isn't about all that. It's actually about it's our annual award episode. So this is our third annual USPHL West Awards. We've got 24 awards to hand out. It's been an awesome season. And I will caveat this whole episode by saying, if you're not mentioned on the episode, it doesn't mean you weren't in even strong consideration. You could have been the runner-up, but there's only one award recipient. So that's what we're going with here. So if you're not mentioned, it didn't mean you weren't an amazing player all year that damn near qualified. It just means that there's only one award and there's only one short episode. So can only hand out so much. But gents, are you ready to launch this episode?
As ready as I'll ever be, sir.
And all right, Chris has kept us in the dark. So he's the only one who actually knows the actual award winners at the moment. We're just helping him out to announce themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, also
you guys a ranking system.
I do have my scoring system, which, I mean, you guys can, I can share screen and eventually show you the psychoticness that went into it. But it wasn't easy. I tell you that, what, to narrow down each one of these awards to one player was,
I can only imagine,
hard. Yeah, it was hard because there's so many players that could have easily taken these awards. But when it comes down to it, you got to pick one, man. So let's roll into it, Steve. I think you got the first one to roll with there.
We're going to announce the Northwest Division play-by-play of the year.
Yeah, so the play-by-play of the year for the Northwest Division is going to be from the Rogue Valley Royals, Kyle Clements, and guess what? Sam Maluth. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We had a lot of fun this year. I feel like, you know, Kyle's already great at what he does, so I'm not sure he really had much room to improve. But for me personally, I felt like I got better this year, getting the chance to do a handful of games on my own when Kyle had other commitments or was out of town. And, you know, I feel like we just really, really bounced well off of each other this year. So it was a lot of fun. Looking forward to year three whenever that's announced. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you and your partner there, Kyle, make the thing really, really interesting to listen to. He's got the most probably exciting broadcast voice in the USPHL West out of the, I would say, not only just the USPHL West, but the NCDC. So I'd say out of the 18 teams I followed this year, he's got the most exciting voice out of the basically the entire West. He can make the most boring game sound really fun. Mm-hmm. So that's a strong skill set for sure. So congratulations, Kyle. Anson.
That's okay. That's okay.
Sam, I didn't hit a smash ring. Come on, Sam, throw something down.
Well, the thing is, like, so I didn't want this, like, what's, I don't know that word. I do, but I can't think of it right now.
Oh, it's, I got you. Color commentator.
No, not color commentator.
Oh. I thought for sure that's where you were going. All right.
I kind of love it though. It's like, Chris, I know you've taken too many pucks to the head, so it's a color commentator, buddy.
Yeah, it's more like not the nepotism of you being on the podcast, so to speak. It's just a, you know, it's just a really, in terms of the five teams out in the Northwest, it's the best called games. It's what I like about it is, and it's really important. And that's what's going to be between both the Northwest and Pacific Division broadcasters or broadcasting teams of the year, is the lack of biasness is so important, because watching these 18 teams, I would say there's a third that are really well unbiased. There's a third where you can get a little bit of it. And then the other third, it's obnoxious that the home team just can't do any wrong. And those ones are always a struggle to go through. It's like, I don't even mind that middle third where you have that extra little bias. Fans like that. But the complete unbiased call is what I enjoy, because it, at the end of the day, when you're calling these games, the parents on both sides and the family and friends of both sides are watching. So to start bashing a team like some of these other teams do, like, oh, this team's just playing, you know, thug hockey, or like all the crap that you end up hearing from these broadcasters, the back one third that will never get mentioned. You know who you are. I mean, I saw one post after watching a game in the USPHL West this year where the one, it had to be a family member, says, worst broadcast I've ever heard. And I couldn't agree with her more. I don't often like comments like that, but I did on this one. I'm like, yeah, he called a horrible game. It was his disdain for the opponent and his overarching passion for his home team. It made Boston sound clean. That's how bad that
I was waiting for that. It's one of the things we've discussed before in the NHL, and it applies everywhere, you know, evenly across, right? Call the game.
Yeah.
Call the game. Don't be the Boston Bruins announcers. Don't be Sportsnet and TSN when the Leafs aren't playing and they're talking about Austin Matthews during a Jets versus Vancouver Canucks game, right? Call the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, Sam. Way to not be biased, Sam. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, I think that just that there's going to be bad calls on both sides. That's just kind of how the game goes. So I think that just being able to stay unbiased and recognizing that for both teams, as well as the fact that, like you said, Chris, you know, both teams' families are watching the game. Like, it's very easy to be aware of that and call the game that way. Like, it's not that hard, but I appreciate us winning the award. And before we like completely get sidetracked, who is the Pacific Division play-by-play people of the year, Chris?
Yeah. So the play-by-play announcer for the year for the Pacific Division is going to be Steve Granato from the Ontario Junior Reign. He was really close at the end of last year. And I got a chance, I think, also to meet him at the Vegas Showcase briefly the year before. But he just, again, calls an unbiased game. He has got to have one of the most imaginative calls I've ever heard. He can just, the stuff he can come up with on the broadcast is just absolutely brilliant. I don't know how else to put it. He was built for the industry, that's for sure. And again, congratulations on his promotion going up to the St. Louis Cardinals farm team there. I think it's, what is it, Louisville? Not Louisville, but it's, who's the Cardinals farm?
Double A, right?
Yeah.
I just don't remember what the team was.
But it's a well-earned promotion as he goes up there. And, you know, they're getting a hell of an asset. So it's going to be terrible for listeners next year that he won't be on the broadcast. It's going to be big shoes to fill, that's for sure. But he called an unbiased game. He called a really interesting creative game. It's one of those few teams where I had no stake in the game, in terms of I have zero connections with the organization, zero. Or a lot of these teams, at least, you know, I've communicated with coaches or players or ownership. Ontario had zero, but they're one of the games I always went out of the way to watch because of his calls. So that's saying something. So congratulations, Steve Granato, our Pacific Division play-by-play announcer of the year.
All right, moving along, we're going to now pick the winner for the comeback organization of the year.
Yeah, so this goes to obviously the team that kind of had a great bounce back year, and that's going to be the Lake Tahoe Lakers out of the Pacific Division. They went 18-24, 3-0, and 2-1 this year for 40 points, finishing fifth place just outside the playoffs. But that is a massive improvement, a 38-point improvement upon last year where they went 3-37, 2-0, only getting 8 points and finishing at the bottom of the division. And a big contribution to that is going to be their head coach, Chad Olson. It's been a big turnaround season for Lake Tahoe, and you know, more power to them getting back on the saddle next year and trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, they had some players age out, unfortunately, who were huge, you know, portions of the bounce back season, but it was just the recruiting that they had in the off season that allowed them to bounce back. And they were certainly fun to go see here in Medford, and, you know, like you said, just barely missing out in the playoffs in that tough Pacific Division. So hats off to them for a great year.
Yeah, absolutely. And if your listeners can't hear, I don't know, there's this deep thing within my wife where if she feels like there's any point in which she needs to cook or clean in a very small window of time, it's when I'm on a recording. I don't know why that
it's
is.
Like, it's like my cat with attention, dude. Like, I can be walking around the house looking for him, and the exact second I sit down to do something phone related, oh, he's got to have my attention. He's got to have my
attention. Yeah, because we split the duties. Like, it's kind of a 50-50 thing all the time. Actually, I said I'm more the dish cleaner than not. I would say I'm more 80-20% there. But cooking is about 50-50. But when it comes to recording, I don't know what it is, but it's become almost, I know it's unconscious, but it's for me, it's brutally noticeable. But
it's perfect timing.
yeah, next award.
All right. We're going to go to the Northwest Division. And who is the Northwest Organization of the Year, Chris?
That's going to be the Vernal Oilers. They had, back-to-back Northwest Division champions. Got the owner David Amonte, head coach Ryan House. I think he took over in November along with their assistant coach. Pause.
I thought that was mine for a second. It's like, what the fuck did I do?
Jesus, scared the shit out of me.
It didn't. I'm a dad. That kind of stuff now makes me go, okay, who's doing what?
Which kid is it this time?
Exactly it.
What did I say, gents? All right.
Just start that one right from the get-go again.
All right. Now we're going to go to the Northwest Division. And who is the Northwest Organization of the Year, Chris?
Yeah, that's going to be the Vernal Oilers, the back-to-back Northwest Division champions. They just always put that great product on the ice for the fans of Vernal. And you got owner David Amonte, head coach Ryan House, who took over in November. They again had another great organizational year. They made it to the Nationals. And what else can you say about the Oilers? They've been at the top for the last couple seasons, and they get our organization of the year.
All right. So moving on to the Pacific Organization of the Year.
Yeah, so the Pacific Organization is going to be the Bakersfield Roughnecks. We love watching this organization. They seem to have a great product there. They're continuing to build something great. They had, a nice improvement off of last year's point production. You got head coach Charlie Moxham, and I think Corey Anderson is the assistant coach. And obviously the owners, Chris and Sarah Gregory, who we've had on the podcast before. They just do great down there, and they had a great year, and they really put up a fight in the playoffs. Came short, but it's an organization. They returned a lot of their players from last year for the ones that didn't get promoted or age out. So it speaks highly of their organization, and congratulations, Bakersfield Roughnecks.
Absolutely, and now we're going to go to some coaches of the year. So, Chris, who is the Northwest Coach of the Year?
That's going to be Danny Randall. So the Casper Roughnecks head coach, who I say Casper Roughnecks head coach because this year he is. Last year he was with the Rock Springs Prospectors, the same organization. So this organization moved, and that's why he gets our coach of the year, because not only was he able to continue to put a playoff team on the ice back-to-back years, but he did it with the same organization in different cities. As Rock Springs moved to Casper this year, with the Rock Springs Grizzlies taking the NCDC position there. And that's just another move for Danny, because the year before he had started with the Provo Riverblades, the old Provo organization. And so I don't know if he actually has apartments or if he just lives in a trailer outside these arenas.
A van down by the river.
A van down by the arena. Good one, Sam.
He's like, what, the Oakland A's owner? Is it the Oakland A's or no, the Oakland Raiders, right? The Oakland Raiders owner? Or no, not the Oakland Raiders anymore. It's the Vegas Raiders. But didn't he isn't he driving like the same van from like when he was a kid?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, both of those owners are terrible, but John
is maybe not a great example, Danny.
I don't know who you're thinking of. I mean, there was a player for the Detroit Tigers organization who used to live in a van, like literally down by the river.
I remember him. Yeah. For baseball, right? But I mean, he did a great job again. He got Rock Springs in the playoffs last year, and you know, same organization, different name this year with Casper, and he put a competitive product back on the ice. So congratulations to be able to do that back-to-back years with the massive changes that organization has had is speaks a lot to Danny's coaching ability.
All right, moving on to the Pacific Coach of the Year.
Yes, so that's going to be from the Ontario Junior Reign, Jeremy Blumes. Ontario, again, is just one of those organizations where they didn't have a ton of the flashy players. They had some great players. I mean, don't get me wrong, they had Laroque Wolf and Reese Doyle and such. But all in all, it was just a well-structured, well-coached team, night in, night out. You knew what you were getting with the Ontario Junior Reign. They play their game. They play their style. He's very passionate. I don't think you can go through a game without hearing him yell at the refs, which is awesome. I enjoy that as a listener. But yeah, I just think that being able to, again, have a team that's in the playoffs again this season and increased their position from last year, again, just speaks to the coaching of Jeremy Blumes. And I believe he has moved on to San Diego for this upcoming season. And I don't think he's a head coach. I have to look, but I remember seeing an announcement. So congratulations to Jeremy on the what looks like to be a promotion. I don't know if he's hockey ops or something with San Diego. I can't remember the title. But congratulations, Jeremy, our head coach of the year for the Pacific Division.
Absolutely. And congratulations to both coaches. Now we are going to go on to who are the unsung hero or heroes of the year, Chris?
Yeah, so generally it's an unsung hero, but we're just going to say what this is. The unsung heroes. We're going to call it the Long Beach Shredders goaltenders. That's going to be, he's only played a few games, but Jason Mabakwai, I think. And forgive me, kid, if I just totally slaughtered your name. He's out of San Diego, California. He's an 05. Kyne Harding out of Canada, who played 6 games. Then you're talking about the guys who started to get into the double-digit games. Ethan Sedigayan, the 05 from Garden Grove, California. Connor Zvedo, the 04 from Yarbo Linda, California. Aiden Patterson, the 03 from Chandler, Arizona. And Hunter Krell, the 05 from Gilbert, Arizona. They're the unsung heroes. If anybody was familiar with the Long Beach Shredders season, I don't think there is a team, and I can check, but I don't think there is a team in the USPHL or potentially junior hockey that faced the amount of shots that any goalie faced in that net night in and night out. Sam, we would talk about the shots. And Steve, you too, you saw too. The amount of shots this team was facing was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a attendee who now is known as Quadzilla. and also is probably, you know, in a wheelchair most days of the week right now. Boys, take care of those tendies. Take care of those tendies and maybe get some defense on that team. Not an insult to the entire defensive core, but that's a lot of shots. That's a lot of shots.
Yeah, it's a lot of shots. And I'm very, very happy to see that the organization has since been rebranded and is under new ownership. So I'm very excited for the new organization, the Long Beach Bombers. They kept a super sick kind of like SoCal color scheme going on, but they kind of brought back the Bombers because the Bombers were a pre-existing organization, I think, in the WSHL days. And they kind of merged the two. They kind of merged the color scheme from the Shredders with the logo from the original Bombers, and they've got a really sick look already. So I'm really excited to see changes that can be coming to this organization and basically bring the pride back to Long Beach hockey for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine how that season went along for all the players on that team, but kudos to the goalies for hanging in there and stopping as many as you could.
Yeah, and again, I don't think it was any necessary thing on the defense. I just think that the systems just weren't there, man. I didn't see a lot of systems going on because you saw the players that would leave Long Beach, and they were immediately impactful with new organizations. If you watch the games, a lot of players were incredibly noticeable. I just think there was something wrong with the whole system. So a change of a scenery and a new look is long overdue, and very excited to see this new organization's hopefully success and basic competitiveness in the Pacific Division, because it's lacked it its entire existence. So it's been sold. It's been rebranded. Look what happened to the Riverblades when they were sold to become the Predators, and the Predators have been a very successful organization since. Sick, better look, better logo, better structured, and hoping for the same with Long Beach.
All right, so now we're moving into the age-out forward of the year.
Yes, so our age-out forward of the year is going to be from the Fresno Monsters, the 03 from Skellefteå, Sweden, Oliver Berlin Soström. His skating is just on another level. He's got those Swedish skates on his feet. He's part of the Swedish quartet there in Fresno. And Sam, he was one of your fantasy team members all season long, making sure that you had consistent points coming in. But he's just an all-around great forward.
Yeah, I wish I had gotten the chance to watch more Fresno games, but just from keeping track of that team and, you know, all these Pacific Division teams, that there were a number of forwards that were going bonkers at times, but Soström was very impressive all season long.
Yeah, he was. He was impressive to watch and well-earned award.
Now we're going to go to the blue line, and who is our age-out defender of the year?
Our age-out defender of the year is going to be Steven Blangino from the Fresno Monsters, the 03 from Czechia. Again, he just came out of the gates this season with a fire in his belly. He played, he was great last year, but he just stepped it up this year. Just all around an incredible defenseman that's going to be an asset, much like Soström or Berlin Soström, wherever he chooses to play next year in college or potentially back in Sweden elsewhere pros. Blangino is going to be a great asset on the blue line to any collegiate or pro team that's looking to pick him up.
And here comes the biased, the most important.
Ayo.
Who is the age-old goalie of the year?
Our age-out goalie of the year is going to be from the Las Vegas T-Birds, the 03 out of Phoenix, Arizona, Steve, Sam Peterson. What an awesome season for Sam. I had an impression this year that for some reason I thought he missed more games than he did. I don't know why. I thought he had a period of games where he just wasn't there, like he was injured or something. So I must have confused him with another goalie, because when I went back and looked at his info, I'm like, he didn't miss any significant period of time. But he was just stellar from point A to point Z this season. He just really killed it. And honestly, another player where he's going to be a great asset to a collegiate program. I know he did try his best in his final game to get a goalie fight in. It didn't work out for him. But, all of us goalies maybe want that at one point or another, just depending on who's on the other side. If he's a 6'8" goalie, I'm not trying to fight him. You put me up against Ethan Blackburn, I'm not trying to fight him. Ethan Blackburn's a monster on the ice. Ethan, did you hear that? A monster. So I'm not trying to fight. I can't swing that high. You know what I'm saying? I'm 6'1". I ain't trying to fight a bigger guy. But no, he was a great goalie all season, Sam Peterson.
Chris, I do appreciate the Zed. Shout out to Canada. Shout out to his time in the UK. Zed.
Yeah, you can tell I've been here long enough, can't you?
I know Sam was back there a little confused. What the hell is he talking about?
I wasn't.
It's a zebra.
I missed the Zed part, but I'm still here, I promise. Meanwhile, we're going to go to who is the age-out player of the year, Chris?
Well, our age-out player of the year is going to go to another netminder, because I love my goalies. It's going to be the 03 out of Delta, British Columbia, from the Bellingham Blazers, Rahul Sharma. He, again, faced a ton of shots per game this season with Bellingham, as Bellingham, again, was unable to make the playoffs. But it's not from the lack of the goalies' abilities within the Nets and that applies to all the goalies that saw ice time with Bellingham this year. Again, they weren't a bad team. They just some the systems could have been fixed within the Bellingham Blazers. They were still a fun team to watch this year. Goalies like Rahul Sharma kept his team in the game longer than they deserved to be. There's no better way to put it. I did also like seeing him throw a few fisticuffs. I think it was at your boy there, JD Lyon, Sam.
Yeah.
In one of those final games.
No. Yeah, they had a bit of a scuffle.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of fun to watch. But, yeah, I think he had a great season, and he's going to be an asset to any team that is looking for an outstanding goalie for college, for sure.
Feels like a lot of these teams are having some goalies age out and gotta find some new ones.
That they do. There's some great goalies out there. So any teams that want to reach out, I've got a list. But yeah, seriously, he had a great season, and yeah, a lot are aging out.
And for that list, everybody, that'll cost you. Help us get about 20 sponsors, and Chris will release that list for you. Now moving on to the Northwest Division Forward of the Year.
Yeah, so Northwest Division Forward of the Year is going to be from the Seattle Totems, the 03 out of Marysville, Washington, Trevor Laux. What production he had this year. And yet another player that's actually aging out at the end of the season. So another great asset to a college program. But again, I don't know what else you can say about his game this year. He plays smart hockey. He's got a nice set of wheels. Just one of those players where I won't be surprised to see him in a starting role on a college program. I think he's got those quality mitts. Yeah, he'll be a rookie, but I think he could easily work his way in a lineup for the college of his choosing. And I don't know if he's committed yet, so I haven't tracked. But congratulations, Trevor.
Yeah, that top line on Seattle of him, Morris, and Anthony was pretty ridiculous and hard to stop throughout the season. So not surprising to see his name on this list. Meanwhile, we're going to go back to the blue line. And who is the Northwest Division Defender of the Year, Chris?
Well, that's going to be the 03 out of Bloomfield, Colorado, from the Rogue Valley Royals, Blaze Ebbinghaus. The stay-at-home defender, man, he keeps threats to the outside. He blocks shots. He ends Michigan attempts. I don't know what else you can say about Blaze. He didn't get to finish the season. It looks like he may have gotten injured, much like the end of last season, where I think he missed the final 2 months of the year. But all in all, when he's back there for Rogue Valley, he's doing everything he can to try to keep threats to the outside. And he really does stand out back there on the blue line for Rogue Valley.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a top pair defenseman both of these first two seasons in the Royals history, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him. And he always lines up against the top forwards, it feels like, no matter what time of the ice, and he plays a lot of ice time. I don't know what the plan is for him next year. I know that he was born in 04, so maybe we'll get one more year out of him. But I know that at the end of the year he did have, was it a collarbone issue, or he had some sort of arm issue that I can't remember. But yeah, he missed a little bit of time at the end of the year, and a lot of the boys were banged up. But I know that they still had a fun trip in the playoffs to Vernal, and then a less fun trip on the way back.
it's an infamous trip now of them singing Country Road on the
yeah.
Side. Bus broke down, and I think I mispronounced him as an 03, so it's good to know he's got another year of a junior experience to gain. And potentially, I mean, if there's, again, I will say tier two programs looking for an upgrade, not to poach the Ruddles prize defenseman there, but he would definitely be an asset, I think, to a tier two program. So if he can recover in time and make some of these camps, that would be he could easily get picked up there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I for me, at the end of the day, it's all about the boys. It's all about their development. And so if, like you said, if other teams are looking to upgrade, I would not be shocked to see him go somewhere else and put up great numbers there.
No, he's totally capable of that. So, you know, speed of recovery, excited to see him next year wherever he lands.
All right, we're moving on to the Northwest Division Forward of the Year.
Yes, so our
goalie.
Was it goalie?
Fuck, yep. We already did the forward.
I am a fucking fucktard this morning.
No, you're good.
I was confused for a second. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. Me and my stupidity. Okay, we're going for the goalie of the year then? Are we on there?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Look at me. I'm all laser focused. All right, so moving on to the goalie of the year for the Northwest Division.
Yes, that's going to be – he split time between the Rogue Valley Royals and the Lake Tahoe Lakers. He's the 04 from Fair Play, Colorado, and we just recently had him on the podcast a few episodes ago. That's going to be Caden Edstrom. Again, just incredible legwork, solid RVH. I mean, he is a goalie that can definitely get eyes from a Tier 2 program. I'm surprised he didn't from the previous season before, and would be again surprised if he isn't with a Tier 2 program next season. Just an all-around solid goaltender and does everything he can to keep his team within the game. And that's all you can ask for from a goalie is allow a solid netminder allows the forwards and the defense to take those risks, to kind of lead those attacks a little bit deeper into the zone, because they know if they do make a mistake, he's got their back. And so that's, I think, what Edstrom provides there in the blue paint. And Sam, I know you probably have opinions on that as well.
I mean, yeah, it was a lot of fun to see him come back to Rogue Valley and, you know, just looking. I know that obviously I saw him and it's been a couple months since the last game, but the numbers that he put up, I mean, a 931 save percentage in the games that he had with Rogue Valley is kind of insane. So kudos to him. He had a great time here. And, you know, he's certainly pushed Kolasa to be better as well, now that once he came in and like they were both kind of 1A, 1B situation, it was hard to figure out which one was which. So kudos to Caden for another great year.
No, incredible season for Caden.
All right, so we're moving on to the Pacific Division forward of the year.
Nope. We're not there yet.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Dudes, I am fucking stupid. Chris, it's happened again. It's like once a month, dude.
Yeah, it was my fault. It was my fault for not immediately jumping into the next thing. No, we have one more Northwest Division award.
Hey, Chris, let's go back to that one episode where this happened again. You're like, Steve, you on drugs? I'm like, God, I wish I was. It would explain this much better.
Yeah, I think it was a VIJHL episode where I think your brain officially snapped on the Peninsula Panthers or something.
Oh, yeah, and I was just stumbling on over it over and over again and then getting hooked on other words, yeah. All right, kids, this is CTE at full effect here. I hate to tell you.
Oh, you don't have that.
Do you know how many shots I took to the head willingly?
Probably a lot.
And Sam, I used to ask players sometimes, I'm like, I'm feeling a little shaky today. So I'm like, rock one off my head so I just get used to it early. So yeah, we're a different breed of stupid, dude. I hate to break the news to you.
Yeah, the TBI leaks out eventually.
That's kind of an insane request of you, Steve, to let the players do that.
It's better when you know it's coming. I hate to tell you, Sam. It's much better.
Yeah, you know, that does make sense on second thought.
The 90s were a different time, Sam.
It's not even the 90s. Growing up, Chris, did you wear a bicycle, a helmet, biking? Nope.
Hell no. Even when New York State passed the law for that required, I'm not kidding. Being a teenager, pulled over by the cops because I wasn't wearing a bike helmet.
That's funny.
Yeah. Like, where's your helmet? The new state law. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's expensive. Do they hand them out?
No. All right. Well, then there's
And plus, I mean, well, I had a helmet. My dad wasn't not getting me a helmet, but what teenager's wearing a helmet? We're stupid.
So. It doesn't look cool, does it?
No, it doesn't look cool. It's the same reason that you don't wear a jacket when it's negative 10 outside. Because,
anywho, rein us back in. Who is the Northwest Division Player of the Year, Chris?
Well, that's going to be another netminder because I love my goalies, and that's going to be a player that's also split time between the Casper Roughnecks and the Bellingham Blazers, the 05 from Surrey, British Columbia, Kai Rivas. Again, between his time in both Casper and Bellingham, he really gave his team a chance to win night in and night out. And if I'm not incorrect, I want to say, much like Sam, where you and Kyle were last year's winners as well, I want to say Kai was last year's Northwest, well, maybe not division of player. I don't think I had a Northwest Division Player of the Year, but I think he was the Northwest Division Goalie of the Year last year. This year he's the Player of the Year for the Northwest Division. Again, he just had an epic season. He gives his team a chance to win night in and night out. And again, that's all you can ask for from a netminder.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of good goalies in this Northwest Division. Just want to give a quick shout out to Camden Whittington as well, because that guy was hard to go up against. may not have just gotten enough starts in Seattle considering he started the year with Utica. But yeah, Kai was very impressive last season and this season, and was certainly a reason that Casper ended up in the position that they did in the division.
Yeah, and he is, and that's with guys like Camden as well. I mean, there's my short list. I mean, in terms of like defense, I was eyeing down for these awards. I had over 30 defensemen listed. With forwards, I had over 40, and with the goalies, I had 25 goalies that.
Oh my goodness!
And you think about it, that's 18 teams, 25 goalies, but you have goalies that kind of also started the year, like a guy like Robert Allport with Casper, and then off he went. And guys like Aiden Patterson started the year with Long Beach, and then off he went. So there was a lot of goalies in the mix, but I tried to, like, again, do the best I could in terms of, like, what players, what goalies, what coaches meet kind of my, I don't know, obtuse idea of award winners.
Criteria.
So I just think that, you know, it's really hard. And there's a lot.
Hey, Chris, yeah. Color commentary.
That's why Sam's a great addition to this podcast.
I'm just helping him out. I'm not trying to be obnoxious about it.
There's no hiding my intent on this one. It is funny. But then again, it was already covered with the let's take a shot to the head, and then it's not wear bicycle helmets.
Well, we're a sharp group there, Steve. As you can tell, I haven't paused. Look, I have to repeat words twice. My brain stuck. All right, let's move on.
And moving on, let's see if Steve actually nails it this time. The Pacific Division Forward of the Year.
Yeah, Steve.
Hey, look at that, all everybody.
Right. All right, so yeah, that's going to be from the Fresno Monsters, the 03 from Sollefteå, Sweden, Noak Persson. No shocker here. He had an incredible year. His goal count was ridiculous. I don't know how he was playing in Tier 3. He was just an incredible forward. He should have been getting looks elsewhere, and I'm excited to see where he goes next year, because he was extremely noticeable, extremely noticeable the year before, but he was honestly, Fresno had a great team last year, and he was buried behind players like Chris Maraldo. This year, he got a chance to shine as part of the Swedish quartet, and what a player. If he's not going pro back in Sweden, there's a Swedish team that's not having a scout anywhere significant. Like the kid's amazing. So he's our Pacific Division Forward of the Year.
No surprise there. Let's see who we got for the Pacific Division Defender of the Year.
Yeah, it's going to be the O4 from, you ready for it, Steve? From Scottsdale, Arizona, from the Bakersfield Roughnecks, Hudson Whitney. He was extremely noticeable from the get-go this year with Bakersfield. He's just a smart defender, doesn't let a lot around him. Again, keeping the threats to the outside. He's got his I don't want to say backward skating, but his reverse skating is just really solid. And that's obviously critical for a defender. And yeah, he just, you know, basically keeps the guys on the outside, reduces the threats, and just all around solid defender. So congratulations, Hudson.
All right. So the Pacific Division Goalie of the Year.
Yes, that's going to be the 04 from Laval, France, from the Lake Tahoe Lakers, Sabal Dibiak. All season long, he's really shined there in net. I know, again, Lake Tahoe wasn't able to make the playoffs, but he gave his team a chance night in and night out to have the opportunity to win games. And they had a lot more success this year. They were a lot more fun team to watch. And a big part of that was the Lake Tahoe netminders, specifically Sabal this season. And it was great. I mean, the games were fun. That's all I asked for this year from Lake Tahoe. I guess that dips back into their comeback organization of the year. Is the games were fun to watch again. They were not fun last year. You know, having netminders like Sabal back there, allow his team to take those additional chances because they know he's back there, is incredible. And I know it's a hell of a journey to come from Europe all the way to the West Coast of the United States to play hockey. So the sacrifice from that is not lost on me either. And of course that would apply to guys like Noak Persson as well. And Solstrom and any other player that came over from Europe or elsewhere this season to play. So congratulations to Ball.
Absolutely. And then we're going to go to who is the Pacific Division Player of the Year, Chris?
Yes, Pacific Division Player of the Year is going to be guys that's not a goalie.
What?
Believe it or not. It's would you believe a defenseman? Would you believe a defenseman could get my player of the year for the Pacific Division?
Is it?
I can believe. Hey, look, I can go there. Like the people that support the Tendi, of course. Like,
if you watch the games all year, you'll see why. And
I'm going to guess it's a player from Bakersfield. That's my only guess.
It's not. And Bakersfield had, like, again, with guys like Hudson Whitney, you had guys back there like Modlin. You had guys back there like Rodriguez.
That was my guess in my head. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what division he's going with or what what defender he's going with.
Well, Bakersfield had probably, I would say, the strongest defensive core of the Pacific Division this season. I think that was probably hands down, and I think Hudson was the biggest piece to that. But, I mean, I would also say Hudson was pretty interchangeable with guys like Modlin and Rodriguez because they were just – it was such a solid defense, kind of like Pueblo. Like Pueblo, when I talked about last month's the March 2024 standouts with, like, Will Hoffer. You start interchanging some of these defensemen. That's kind of how it was with Bakersfield. But when it came to just the player of the year – yes, happens to be defenseman, and it's going to be from San Diego, and it's going to be the 0-4 from Sweden, Tim Gradin. Him play all year, his abilities, again, those Swedish skates, I don't know what they put in those Swedish skates. I don't know what it is, but damn, the skating game on these Swedish players is just next level. And Steve, I think we've talked about that on previous podcasts, but you talk about his defensive skills with his skating abilities, and he could also put up a few points. I wouldn't label him a complete offensive defenseman. I just say he can put up points, but I wouldn't label him an OFD. He's just overall, he's solid on the blue line, which is the key important for a defenseman. He can contribute to the points. He can help kind of lead those rushes in. And he's just, I don't know what else you'd want from a defenseman than what you got from Tim Gradin.
I agree.
Sorry, I was choking there, trying to hold back a cough. I apologize for that. No problem. All right. So going on to the goalie of the year.
Nope.
We're at four, number four, Steve.
Steve.
Jesus Christ.
Steve. As soon as he's not talking, he just kind of tunes us out and goes off into his own world.
Oh, no, I'm just highlighting the wrong fucking thing somehow. I don't know how the fuck I keep doing this. Jesus.
It's okay.
All right, so let's talk about the forward of the year.
Yeah, so the forward of the year is going – and this is – overarching between the Northwest and the Pacific Division. So these are our basically our top four awards for the season. And so we had the forward, the defender, the goalie, and then our basically MVP player of the year. And so, yes, our top forward of the year is going to be an 06 from Rancho Cucamonga, California, from the Seattle Totems, Seth Morris. Sam, you mentioned him earlier in the podcast. For an 06, I am incredibly impressed. I'm expecting him to not be tier two next year. For tier two teams listening, this is a player you need to invite to your camp. I was just overall like outstanding player this year. I couldn't think of a better player to award forward of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly did, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, did not know who the awards were going to, but I also didn't realize until I was just looking at stats randomly when we were mentioning all of our different awards. And looking at the Seattle players, I was like, I had no idea he was an 06. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. He was the leading scorer. I mean, basically tied for first with Laux. But yeah, just an unbelievable year from both of those players, and not surprising at all to see him be the forward of the year.
No, he had an incredible year. And again, I'm expecting tier two organizations to pay attention. I don't expect Morris. It'll be a loss for Seattle, but I don't expect Morris to be playing a tier three hockey next year.
I agree with you. It'd be a bit of a surprise. We're going to go back to the blue line. And who is the defender of the year, Chris?
The defender of the year. So it's pretty rare to have players of the year come from the same teams for me, but you can't deny talent when you see talent. And this one's going to be the 03 from Kalispell, Montana, from the Seattle Totems, Peter Konopka. His game this year on the blue line, honestly, if you're a college program, you need to watch Instat. You need to watch a tape on this kid. He's got all the right pieces you need for a defenseman. It's just overall, I was really impressed with this game this year. And I don't know what it was. Seattle did really good. Seattle was pretty deep. I don't know what happened at the end of the season. They just, because I really thought they would probably take down Vernal with the way they're playing. But Vernal got hot at the end of the year, and Seattle just over those last few weeks just kind of went cold. But all year long, a lot of players stood out. And it was really shocking that they didn't advance to the Nationals with how well and how deep their team is. Because you had guys like Rattellin, Walenik, and Anthony and all of them back there. And I think Anthony split time this season between Seattle and Tier 2. So wasn't shocked by any, basically outside of the end of the season performance for Seattle, truthfully, which was kind of entertaining in Vernal. I will say a lot of things were thrown onto the ice that final series. So that was exciting. But the guys back there like Kanapka and Carvelas and everything, they were just excellent, excellent defensemen. But Kanapka just, I think was well-earned recipient of this Defender of the Year for the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it was every time that we faced them, whenever Kanapka and Carvelas came on the ice, it was just almost impossible to get anything past them with both the speed and the stick handling and the defensive ability and IQ from both of them. And Kanapka, he's been a thorn in our side the past couple of years. So kudos to him for a great junior career, but glad to see you go.
Spoken like a true Rogue Valley Royals color commentator.
You're like a true, slightly biased commentator. But yeah, kudos to him for a great season nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Tendy of the Year.
Yeah, so our goaltender of the year is going to be a goalie I managed to snipe with the first round pick this year for my fantasy draft that was eventually sniped for me by Sam. I didn't want to say it, Sam. Okay.
I wanted to.
But he's the 04 from Peoria, Arizona, from the Bakersfield Roughnecks, Connor Dumanil.
Here. He was sniped by me from Chris originally. Let's put that out there, boys.
Yes, yeah, because you weren't there.
Well, I got the pick above him. Like I said, if he wasn't there, he would have gotten him still, because if he had got the pick before me, I know what his pick was. I would have picked it for him begrudgingly, but he wasn't. Did I get the first overall pick or the second overall pick?
You were second. I think Heath was first, right?
Oh yeah. And he picked Noack Person. Good pick. So I ended up with Connor Dumanil, but I mean, there's a reason for it. I think he was, again, our goalie of the year last year. So I think he might be the third-ish repeat winner this season. He's the whole package for a goalie. Again, another goalie I was actually kind of shocked to see in Tier 3 this year. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see him in Tier 2 next season. He's in terms of his legwork, he stays square as a shooter. He's really good at his angles. He's just, I would say, in terms of when you look at goalie styles, he's routinely so good in that I'm going to say this cautiously, but it's almost kind of a more boring goalie to watch. And you know what that means, Steve, if a goalie is more boring to watch.
He's doing his job.
Yes. Because he's not often out of position. As a goalie, when you see those quote unquote boring goalies to watch, it's because they're doing a job. Brian Miller was boring as hell to watch for the most part. I mean, that when he was in Vancouver and he did that like leap, you know, out of net to stop that puck, that was fun. I mean, goalies still make wild saves routinely, I guess. But yeah, overall, I mean, Connor Dumanil stood out again all season long, and a well-earned award.
Absolutely. Not shocking to hear that one. But we're going to go to the big kahuna, the last but not least. Who is the player of the year?
Do you guys want to guess what position it is?
Goalie. If it's not, I'm booing this. If it's not, I'm booing this.
You may as well boo it, because no, our player of the year is not a goalie. Surprise.
Whoa.
I know. I think our player of the year I think Tino was a player of the year last year, and then Patrick Colburn was the player of the year before. So both goalies. And this is not a goalie. It's going to be a forward that split time between Vernal and San Diego. The 03 Swiss-American from Harrison, New York, Mario Paganini. The dangles, the ways he dances with the puck, he opens up the ice. I mean, beautiful setups, puts the D basically in like a freeze position, because he just – He's got the skills, and I'm stunned he wasn't playing tier two hockey this year. I know, I think he was on a bunch of camps this year, but somehow ended up in tier three. And I think his point production this year proves to some of these tier two programs that he should have been up in tier two all season long, because look at the way he was just able to just play his game this year. And he looked like he was having a lot of fun come the end of the year playing hockey. And I think that realization of the junior career ending, and he's going to be probably heading to college next year. I'm not sure where he might be committing. I'd be excited to see, but whoever gets him is going to have, I would say, a top six forward on their roster, because he was just, I mean, in tier three, he's easily a top liner. I mean, that's dead giveaway. But college programs, again, I don't know if he's committed yet. College programs looking for somebody, I would definitely be taking a look towards Mario's way, because Sam, you sniped him off my fantasy team, much like Dumino this season. I paid.
Yeah, it worked out in my favor. But I mean, he's just a scorer. He's just got that ability with the stick handling, like you said. Only got to see him a little bit earlier in the season, since Vernal only came here once, and then we didn't play San Diego other than, I don't remember. Oh yeah, we played them in the showcase, but I wasn't there for that. But yeah, I mean, he put up 4 goals in a game against us with Vernal, and just, it was just like every time he had the puck, I was like, oh no, what's he about to do next? So great player. Good to see him get the award, but a ton of great seasons all around from everybody, and hard to narrow it down to just one, I can imagine.
Yeah, he's that player. He draws the attention from the defenseman, and he opens up that secondary threat. I mean, he attracts the attention on the ice to where if he's not somehow scoring the goal, he's drawing the attention in to where he's opening up that other threat to be able to put in that goal. And so, I mean, that was a hell of a tool to have on, again, between Vernal and San Diego this season.
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, guys, I also think that this is probably a great place to wrap this up. So congratulations to all the award winners. It was an amazing and fun season of hockey to watch. The off season is approached. I was going to say approaching, but thank God there's still NCDC hockey for me. I'm deep into the playoffs right now. It's been fun so far, but that's for a later episode. Yeah, now I'm without USPHL hockey for like 6 months, guys.
Congrats to Connecticut for winning the championship at Nationals.
Yeah, great game between the Islanders Hockey Club and Connecticut Junior Rangers. I mean, it was a great game. And to go into overtime, you knew somebody was going to be the hero. That's the great thing about overtime. And, you know, whoever scores, your team wins the championship, the national championship. You're the best out of, I wouldn't say it wasn't 69 teams, but about, you know, 60 teams. That was incredible. And, I mean, Connecticut was the best team all year long in the USPHL. I think they're the regular season champions, but the kind of, I think in the beginning of the Nationals kind of fluttered a bit, and they quickly recovered, and now they've earned their first national championship. And again, I don't think it could have gone to much of a better coaching program there in Connecticut, and really, really awesome to see them win their first natty. But it's probably a great place to wrap this up. So we want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date. This is the Pigeon Hockey Podcast with Chris, Steve, and Sam.
Have a great one, hockey fans.
Take care, hockey fans.
And remember, listeners, always clear your crease.